Good morning. This is a recording of a talk given on Sunday, the 24th of April at St. Matthew's Church. The Bible passage is Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. If you've got a Bible in front of you, please do turn that up. And please do pause the recording and take a moment to read it. Let us pray for God's help. Dear Father, we thank you that you speak to us in the words of the Bible. And so, Father, we pray that your Spirit would take your word and teach us of yourself, but also teach us about ourselves and how we should respond to you. So please be at work among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we return this morning to our series in Genesis, a series looking at Genesis chapter 3 through to chapter 11, which I've called Out of Eden. And the big question we've been asking time after time in this series is this: why is the world like it is today? We've been asking those questions like, why is there a war in Ukraine? Why is Putin doing what he's doing? We've been asking things like, why are there refugees wanting to come to our country? Why do people traffic them? Why are we having these long discussions about how we should welcome refugees? When we read things about the environment, we say, why is there this climate emergency? Why is it suddenly creation is going wrong? Maybe it's just more personal questions. Why is there death or sickness? Why do people struggle with their physical and mental health? And these chapters in the book of Genesis ultimately help to explain why our world is not the good world that God made. A world where everything was good. Our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, and our relationship with the world God created. And we've seen in the book of Genesis that our world went wrong when Adam and Eve rejected the rule of our loving Creator God. And as a result, their relationship with God was broken. Their relationship with each other was broken. And their relationship with creation was broken. And that rejection of the rule of our loving Creator God is what the Bible calls sin. We saw that so far, haven't we? Adam and Eve failed to listen to God's word, instead listened to the voice of the serpent. And as a result, were thrown out of the presence of God in the Garden of Eden. They were away from the tree of life. We saw with Cain and Abel a breakdown of family relationships as Cain murdered his brother. And as we read through these chapters of Genesis, we'll see that things don't get any better. Now, our passage today is Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. But I also want to look back at chapter 5. And now the book of Genesis is divided into sections. Each section begins with a little subtitle, a little chapter heading. So 5 verse 1, this is the written account of Adam's family line. Turn over 6 verse 9, this is the account of Noah and his family. In other words, the author of the book of Genesis has put it into little sections that we're to read as like chapters in a book. And so our chapter runs from 5 verse 1 through to 6 verse 8. And it's sadly another chapter where we see the consequences of rejecting the loving rule of our Creator God. Let's have a quick look at chapter 5. As you read it, essentially it's a long list of name of Adam through to Noah. And for each person, We get told how long they lived and then what happened to them. Now, for us, the modern day reader, we just see these very long lives, 800 years, 930 years, 912 years. And I'll come back to that later. But remember, when we were made, death was not part of the original creation. See, God made a good world where we were to live eternally with him. And here, humans are still living for a very long time. But death is a reality. Do you see that? After each person, we get the same refrain. Verse 5, and then he died. Verse 8, and then he died. Verse 11, then he died. Verse 14, then he died. Verse 17, then he died. Verse 20, then he died. Verse 27, then he died. Seems that the author of the book of Genesis is wanting us to understand very clearly that people no longer live forever. The serpent was wrong when he said to Adam and Eve, "You won't surely die." No, they will. See, death comes as a consequence of us rejecting the loving rule of our Creator God. And as we reject his loving rule, death is sadly one of the consequences. But the brokenness continues, and this is where we turn to our current chapter, chapter 6. And I want to just look at this through two different themes. Firstly, I want to look at God's analysis of humanity. What does God make of humans? And secondly, I want to look at God's response to humanity. So firstly, God's analysis. Let me read 6 verses 1 to 3. When human beings began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. Now, a lot of ink has been spilt over the years trying to identify who were the sons of God and who were the daughters of humans. Generally, three sort of ideas are put forward. Some say the sons of God were angelic beings. The case for that is the Hebrew word used there every time it's used in the Bible refers to angels. And if that's true, it suggests that the spiritual realm and the physical realm are much closer in these days shortly after creation. And these spiritual men decided to marry these female humans. As some see it, it's just the two people coming from different lines. So the men are from the line of Seth and the girls from the line of Cain. Others see the sons of God as being rulers, as those in authority, and the women being those not in authority. But whatever and whoever these different groups of people are, one thing is really clear. These men, seeing these women were beautiful and marrying them, made the Lord angry. Because what does he say? "My spirit will not contend with this." See, whatever we say about the identity of these people, it's quite clear this relationship was wrong. It seems to me that we have a situation where men are treating women inappropriately. And that fits because, do you remember back in chapter 3? See, God made men and women equal but different in his sight. But as men and women reject their loving Creator God and his rule, the Bible's quite clear that those relationships between men and women break down. He said to Eve, "Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you." In other words, a situation breaks in where men don't treat women as they should. Hashtag me too is nothing new. It's been there from the beginning. And sadly, this sort of behaviour goes on today, where men or people in power misuse that to abuse others. as I've been reading about stories of rape in Ukraine. I caught the end of a documentary recently about the low conviction rates for rape in this country. And I've heard two stories in recent months of teenage boys watching things online and behaving inappropriately with girls. The Lord, in the time of Genesis 6, saw these inappropriate relationships and said, I will not contend with it. He judged it. And we'll come back to this as he shrunk human lifespans. But it reminds us that the Lord does not like any form of abuse in relationships. So if you're a woman here today and you are being abused, we want to be a church that wants to reach out to you. We want to support you and get you the help that you need. I know it's hard. Please do seek help. And if you're a man here today and you're abusing your wife, your girlfriend, your partner, that needs to stop. The Lord will not contend with that. You need to repent. You need to say sorry. You need to get help and face the consequences. The Lord will not contend with that. See, that's what happens. As we reject the loving rule of our Creator God, relationships break down. But actually, things ultimately get even worse. Have a look with me, verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. God's analysis of humanity is devastating. God's analysis of the human heart will always bend to sin. Notice those words. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. As one commentator put it, a more emphatic statement of the wickedness of the human heart is hardly conceivable. When Archbishop Justin Welby came to Hastings a few weeks ago, he talked about human sin as being humans being curved in on themselves. It's a bit of thinking that goes back to Augustine and then to Martin Luther. And it's this idea that humans left on their own will always turn in on themselves and away from God. The Bible teaches that none of us are perfect. Every human is flawed. It's interesting, I think our secular world knows that. Striking, I watched Grant Shapps the other day. He'd been rolled out to try and defend Partygate. I'm making no political comment on this, but it did strike me when he said, all of us are human and all of us make mistakes. The Bible says that is true. Actually, the Bible says that ultimately we are all curved in on ourselves, that every inclination of our hearts ultimately is only evil all of the time. We need to be real. None of us are perfect. We are all self-centered. We're all wicked. We all live for ourselves. We all want to be kings of our own lives. We are all sinners. And our hearts are deeply rebellious to our loving Creator God. Now, I've noticed in recent years, there's been a temptation in church circles not to talk about sin. It's tragic when I hear talks explaining the Christian faith and sin is never mentioned. When we teach the cross without reference to sin, it empties the cross of its power. We see that in a movement away from having confessions in church. And yet the church likes to talk about justice, as if somehow sin is out there and not in here. Humans are not ultimately good. We're ultimately bad. I know that for my own heart.
The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all of the time.
That is God's analysis of humanity. But what is God's response? Three things. Firstly, grief. Have a look with me, verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all of the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. God does not look on sin and think, never mind. God is grieved. God's heart is troubled when he sees sin. So God does not look at the situation currently going on in Ukraine and feel indifferent. He hates it. His heart is troubled. God does not look at the situation with refugees, the countries they've come from, the people traffickers and our government's response and not care. He desperately cares for truth and justice. But God also looks on our own self-centeredness, our own failures, my failures, to love God and love others. And he hates that too. See, God hates sin. That's his grief. A second response is judgment. Verse 7. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. See, God will punish sin. There is a consequence for sin. It is judgment and death. And that is what we deserve. Notice in that verse, it's like a form of decreation. Several chapters earlier, God was making everything and it was good. He now looks at how humans have rejected him as their loving creator. And as a result, he will destroy the creation he's made. God's response to humanity, grief, judgment, but also grace. Verse 8. But Noah found favour in the eyes of the Lord. See, God, in spite of the fact that every human heart was wicked all of the time, comes and shows favour to this man, Noah. At this point, we're wondering, is he going to be the descendant of Eve who will crush Satan? Well, we'll find out as we read on. Noah is sadly not that person. We also saw another moment of grace back in chapter 5. Just turn back a page to verse 24. We got a man called Enoch. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Striking, isn't it? In this list of people, of which every single one dies, suddenly we meet Enoch, who lives and walks faithfully with God. And the New Testament will pick him up as a man of faith. But of course, it's Easter season in our churches. We've just remembered where true grace will ultimately come. You see, there is another man. Another man whose heart was always intent on good. All of the time. A man who did nothing wrong, as we saw at his trial last week. A righteous man. And that is Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus Christ went and died. He took the death that we deserved for our rejection of God as our loving creator. And as he died, so we might be forgiven. So where is our hope as I read a passage like this? It comes in Jesus Christ, a second Adam, who lived the perfect life, who died the death we deserved, so we might be forgiven. So as we recognise our failure, our sin today, we recognise it grieves the Lord. It makes us want to turn to Christ, in whom we can find forgiveness and hope. Hope that although we die, one day Jesus will return and bring in a new good creation where all things will be good all of the time. So friends, as we leave today, let me ask a couple of questions. Are we going to mourn our sin? Are we going to grieve our sin? Are we going to trust, if we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit to transform us? And most of all, will we trust Christ for our forgiveness and cling to him? Amen.